Thank God for not only the message and song, but thank God for the messengers in that song. Good stuff, and we certainly appreciate it, serving the Lord that way. All right, so I just wanted to share this verse of Scripture with you because we're going to be coming back to this verse. I want to talk to you about a very sensitive subject, the subject of death. People, I actually had some folks contact me, some text, some stopped me before I left this morning and said, you know, I'm looking forward to what you're going to say. I think that it's most Christians know about death and we know what happens at death, but it's not something that we want to talk about a lot, but rather we're going to die. Now, the only way we're going to escape death is perhaps Jesus would come in our lifetime. And if he does, well, then we're not going to die. We're going to be translated, the Bible says. Amen. Amen. Those which are alive and remain. Isn't that what Paul said? He actually included himself. He thought he was going to be alive in 1 Thessalonians when he talked about Jesus coming back. He said, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. I mean, that's how imminent the Lord's return is. He said, you know, he could come in my lifetime. Well, he didn't. And he hasn't. But he is. Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
Amen. He is. And I thought about when I was studying this past week about those chief priests and scribes. And I tell you, it just really hit me how apathetic the church has gotten and how it really can get in our lives to where you hear about Jesus coming the first time and right here around this time of year, and people just kind of seem to be, whole drum, just nothing, you know, no excitement. And then you mention Jesus is coming back, and people just say, you know, they barely get out, amen, yeah, I believe he's coming again. Hey, the Lord's coming back, brethren.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
I mean, that's exciting news.
Amen.
And if he comes back, well, we're not going to go by way of the grave. We're not. But, you know, if he doesn't, before we die, I want to give you some hope. I want to give you something that you say, well, I know I'm going to heaven. Well, okay, I'm glad. Amen. I'm glad you know you're saved. But there's still this fear that surrounds death that I think we all think about. Now, before I get too in-depth in this, I want to discuss a few things with you. Listen, I don't know how much preaching I'll do tonight. I'm going to do some teaching. Now, all preaching ought to have some teaching, but not all teaching has preaching. I don't know what'll be tonight, okay? But I know this. I want you to know what God's Word says about death so that the devil cannot use it against you to paralyze you. Fear paralyzes people. And there's people that they say, well, you know what? I'm young. Well, you don't have to be old to die. I'm in good health. Well, you don't have to be sick to die. I just want you to understand some things, okay? I'm saved. You don't have to be lost to die. All right? So don't think, well, this has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with you. Because Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed, Brother Ryan quoted it, unto men once to die. Men die. That's a fact. And that's the first thing I want to talk to you about. The fact of death. Death is a fact. It's not a figment of man's imagination. It's not something that may happen. It's not something that, you know, well, if you believe a certain way, then it will happen. But if you don't, it may not. Death is a fact. Ezekiel 18, verse number 4 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And God is always right. The Bible is always right.
Amen.
The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. The Bible's always right. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. It's a fact. We're going to die. Say, so, well, I want to change that. Well, you're not going to be able to. It's a fact. It's etched in stone. Brethren, it's going to happen. And while we can't change it, while we can't prevent it, I sure am glad God has given a way we could prepare for it.
Amen.
Aren't you?
Amen.
And so the fact of death, If you're one of these, and I don't think there's anyone here tonight, listen, I don't know what's in people's hearts. There may be somebody watching by live stream. There may even be somebody sitting here. I don't know. That's in denial. So, well, you know what? This is going to happen or that's going to happen. Well, listen, the plain facts are that if you live long enough, you're going to die. That's right. The number one cause of fatalities is death. Mark it down. We're going to die. It's a fact. It's a fact. And so I hope that you'll not be one of these that try to, you know, just block it out of your mind and never think about it. It's okay to think about death. Amen. It's okay to think about it. Now, listen, I don't think we ought to think about it all day, every day. I don't think that ought to be the domineering subject of our conversation. But I do think that we ought to consider the fact that God said we're going to die. If Jesus doesn't come and get us, we're going to die. So that's the fact. Now, let's look at this. I wrote this down. What about the faces of death? And I mentioned this morning, so I want you to write this down. Now, I believe this with all of my heart. This is not about me. But I believe if you'll listen carefully, and as much as within you is, try to stay focused. I realize it's hard sometimes to stay focused. But if you'll just try to stay focused on what we're going to be talking about from God's Word, I really believe it's going to give somebody some help tonight. I really believe this. Brethren, as a pastor, I can't tell you how many people, it would probably stun some of you. Now, some of you have been in ministry yourself for many years, and I don't mean pastoral ministry, but just ministering to people. People are scared. Listen, they are in bondage to the fear of death. I mean, it has gripped their soul. I remember many years ago, and I'm not going to go into the details, but Howard Hughes, how many of you remember Howard Hughes? I mean, listen, he bought the whole floor or two of some motel and got up there, and he was paying doctors to keep him alive. And listen, there's people that just, the extremes that people go to try to avoid and prevent death. And it's because we don't get our information from the right source. This book has the source. God has given us some things that would help us. Number one, when you think about death, I want you to write this word down, separation. Because essentially this is what death is, okay? It's separation. Now, there's three ways that death separates us, and I want you to remember this, okay? Number one, the Bible says in James 2:26, that the body without the spirit is dead. And so that doesn't mean you say, well, I'm going to die when my heart quits beating. No, you're not. You're going to die when your spirit leaves your body, because that's what God said. See, your heart might quit beating, and then it might start back. Amen. So, well, wasn't I dead? Well, now, wait a minute. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. So I just want you to know now, the body without the spirit, when your spirit leaves your body, say, well, you know, preacher, I had an out-of-body experience. Well, I believe that's possible. I think Paul may have. It's possible, right? Yeah, it's possible. But now, I don't think that when that happens that people should write books about it and make a bunch of money. Paul said it's unlawful for me to utter the things. But all of a sudden now, it has become lawful. Right? So, separation. The body without the spirit. That's physical death. All right? That's something we're all going to face if Jesus doesn't come in our lifetime. Physical death. And then there's a second death. It's a spiritual death. Now, we're talking about the faces, the three faces of death. There's physical death. It's going to happen. And then there is spiritual death. Now, that's separation. But it's not separation of the body from the spirit. It's separation from our spirit to God's spirit. You see, in one way, and this is going to sound, I don't know, it's going to be hard to comprehend, but I think that many of you know, you have enough Bible knowledge to understand, we're born dead. Dead. We're born dead in trespasses and sin. Spiritually dead. We're born dead. And so, in case our spirit is quickened through salvation, we will die not just physical death, but will die with a spirit that has never been connected to God and been quickened. And so that will bring forth the third form of death, which is separation. So first of all, there's a physical death. That's separation from body and spirit. Second of all, there's a spiritual death. It's separation from God. But now that doesn't have to be forever. So please listen to me. That doesn't have to be forever. By the way, that first death is not either. Doesn't have to be. Right? Read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Bible says, brethren, listen, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus shall God bring with him. Amen. Amen. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You see, one day, the body and spirit is going to come back together.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You say, well, not this body. I know it's going to be much better than this one. Amen. We're going to have a glorified body. That's right. So, separation, physical death. I hope you'll remember this now. Separation, body and spirit. Spiritual death, separation of our spirit from God's spirit. There's no fellowship there. There's no relationship there. By the way, this happened back in the garden. You know this. You know this. It's not something some preacher made up. This is not something some denomination made up. This is God's word. God told Adam, he said, listen, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat thereof. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat thereof. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He and Eve ate. Did they die? Well, not right then, but they did spiritually. I'm talking about the second face of death, and that's spiritual death. It's separation from God, and it separated man from God. I am so thankful. You've got to turn here to Genesis chapter 3. I'll never forget. In Genesis chapter 3, if you'll turn there with me, we're going to turn to a few scriptures, so be prepared to do that, okay? In Genesis chapter 3 is one of the greatest statements about the grace of God in all the Bible. And so, I'm sitting in class one night, and this compassionate, passionate man that I have a high regard for, Dr. Russell Rice, was teaching the class, and he told us, he said, all right, he said, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter number 3, And he began to go around the room, and he said, all right, Bob, he said, stand up and read verse number 3. And he stood up and read Genesis chapter 9, verse number 3. Verse number 9. And then he said, all right. And he just went around the room, called about 6 or 8 people. And he said, you know, he said, I thought that was what's going to happen. He said, the way you read Genesis chapter 3, verse 9 says a lot about how you feel about God and how God looks towards you as a sinner. I remember just sitting in my seat that night looking down, and God just broke me because I was guilty of reading Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 9 like this. And the Lord God called out unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? You know, you sorry rascal. You know, how dare you to break my commandment? How dare you to do what I said not to do, right? But that's not the way God went after Adam at all. See, God created man for fellowship. And God missed man's fellowship. That's right. God could have let Adam and Eve go on, done anything he wanted to do. But God loves man.
Amen.
And when God in chapter 3 and verse number 9, when he called out to Adam, he said, where art thou? Where art thou, Adam? What's going on? I came for our daily meeting to fellowship in the cool of the day. God knew where Adam was. He was asking him, this was a deep, probing question. What's happened? Right? There's a disconnect between you and I now. See, that's what spiritual death is. So there's a physical death. And then there's a spiritual death. But both involve separation. Now there's a third death. You'd have to turn over, and I'm going to ask you to do it, to Revelation chapter 20 and 21. But turn to Revelation 20. Here is a scene where this third death is a called a second death. Now, it's called the second death, but we're dealing with it third. So don't get confused there. All right? It's the second death. Now, this is a spiritual death too, but it's a death that there's never a hope that it can be cleared. It is a separation from God forever and ever and ever and ever. And it's just sad. It's just terrible to know that there's people who have died and gone to hell. And they've been separated from God forever. And there's multitudes of people that are going to die in their sin and they're going to go to hell. You say, well, preacher, there's very few people that even believe in hell anymore. They're still going there. And that makes me sad in my heart. It ought to break our heart to know that the second death is real. There's people that are going to go there, and when you get there, you can't get out. Listen to me. It's not like you get there and say, I meant to get saved. I'm sorry now. Hey, no, that's not the way this works. I fear that there's so many people in our society today that just thinks, well, you know, maybe the judge will have mercy on me. I know one time I got in trouble and he cut the sentence and I only had to serve like, you know, 20% of my sentence. That's not the way this works at all. And I want you to understand something. Once you die the second death, there's no crossing back over. It's final. In Revelation chapter 20, look if you would in verse number 11. John writing there, he said, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. He said in verse number 12, he said, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to the works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to his works. The Bible says in verse number 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Look at this now. This is the second death. Now, this is what we're dealing with third, but this is a death which is separation from God forever, brethren. Forever. Separated from God. Forever. In a place called hell, and eventually into the lake of fire. It's real. It's real. It breaks my heart. And I believe it breaks many of your hearts. And yet there will be people that will die in their sin and they will go to this place. And perhaps, I don't know, the only thing between them dying in their sin and going to hell is you or I could get in the pathway between where they're headed and where they're going and somehow give them a warning by giving them the gospel and they would receive Christ as their personal Savior. There's a lot at stake here. See, we don't just do the church thing. Right? We don't just punch a box or check a box or, that's not what this is about. So death. Number one, turn over to chapter 21 of Revelation and we'll see again the second death. Chapter 21 of the Revelation says this in verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The fact of death, we're going to die. We're going to die. The faces of death, there is a physical death, and that's the one we're going to hone on in just a moment. There's a spiritual death. Now, if you're here and you've never been saved, and I want you to please listen to me. When I say saved, you know, it's amazing how we have to define terms these days. Some people think when you ask them if they're saved, they're asking, are you a pretty good person? Well, I'm not asking that. I'm asking, have you ever been born again? Have you ever realized you're a sinner, that you've broken the law of God, you've transgressed, you've crossed the line of God's commandments, and you've broken the law of God, and you've brought down condemnation on your life, and you've seen yourself as a sinner, and you've seen Jesus as your only hope of salvation. For neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is an absolute necessity that one be born again if he's going to escape this place called hell. That's what I mean when I say, have you ever been saved? If you're not spiritually alive, you can be. You can be quickened. You can be made alive. So there is a physical death. There is a spiritual death. And if you're spiritually dead, you can get that taken care of before you leave this place tonight. If you're watching by live stream, you can get that taken care of. I mean right now. By bowing in your heart and professing Christ as your personal Savior, repenting of your sin and exercising the gift of faith and receiving the grace of God and the blood of Jesus for eternal life. It's a reality. But then there's this second death. That's eternal. But let's go back and let's look at something, the fear of death. So we've looked at the facts of death. It's a fact. I don't think I have to convince you of that. Brethren, death is a fact. And then the faces of death. There is a physical death. There is a spiritual death. And there is a second death, which is an eternal death. All right? As a matter of fact, the Bible says that they that die that death, says he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, John 3:36. And he that believeth not shall not see life. But listen to this, but the wrath of God, now think about this, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That just means the wrath of God just stays on him and 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 stays on him. I mean, listen, there's no relief. There's no relief. So the second death is a very serious thing. I'm not one to make jokes about hell. Some people joke about hell. I don't joke about hell. Okay, now you say, well, I do. Well, I can still be your friend, but listen, I don't joke about hell. There's some things I might joke about a little bit, but now I don't joke about hell. I don't think it's a joking matter. It's real. Let's go back now and look at the fear of death. I'm going to ask you to turn to some scripture. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 2. Would you turn there? In Hebrews chapter number 2, the apostle, who I believe to be the apostle Paul, is dealing with these Jewish people about what Jesus has done for them. And he begins to go into how Jesus is better than the prophets and the angels and the Old Testament, you know, the priesthood and the sacrifices. And in the midst of it here in chapter 2, he says, you know, Jesus has done something for you that the old covenant could never do. And look what he said here in verse number 14. He said, I'm in Hebrews chapter number 2, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 14. I'm going to talk to you about something that you need to know as a believer now. If you are a believer, if you're not a believer, this is not going to help you. If you're not a believer, what I have said previously, you need to be saved. You are dead spiritually. You need to be quickened. You need to trust Christ as your Savior. And that's where you began to get this kind of help. But if you're not saved now, you need to get saved. And then this can be applicable to your life. So for we who are saved, let's see what Paul said in the book of Hebrews about, well, this thing called death. How can we just face tomorrow and sickness and maybe terminal sickness and sitting by the bedside of someone we love? We've all done it, brethren. It's real. And one day we'll be the one. We won't be sitting by the bedside. We'll be laying in the bedside that someone is sitting by. It's just a part of life. And so he said in verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that's you and I who are saved. That's what he's talking. He's talking to Christians. Listen, we're flesh and blood. And he said, this is what Jesus done. He said, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Well, we're getting ready. We're kind of gearing up and looking forward to that time, aren't we? God came and wrapped himself in a robe of flesh. We call it Christmas. It's a miracle. I tell you, just, I don't know, a couple of days ago, I was just at home by myself, and I just began to think about, wow. I just was sitting on the couch, and I was just saying, wow. Wow. If a neighbor heard me, they'd probably be thinking, what in the world's going on over there? I was just thinking about God becoming a man. I mean, that's the greatest thing I know. God became a man. I mean, just think about it. I can't even begin to wrap my mind around that. God became a man. And he did it for me. This is what the apostle's talking about. He said, you know that flesh and blood you are? God became that. Amen. That's right. That's what he said. Look at it again in verse 4. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise, he took part of the same. Amen. Now he did it a little differently. See, he got to choose. I didn't get to choose. That's right. You didn't get to choose. He got to choose. I didn't get to choose who my parents were. I didn't get to choose when I was going to be born. He got to choose. But I think we can give him that for what he came for. Amen. Amen. What a wonderful God we have. I don't even understand this old sinful flesh. We ought to be falling down prostrate before God regularly. Just blessing his holy name and saying, glory, all glory be to God. Amen. Amen. What a great God you are. Amen. Just look what you've done for me, Lord. Amen. You came and you put yourself in my place and you died for my sin. You suffered my shame. You can be touched with the feelings of my infirmities, and you did that because you wanted to. Amen. You chose to do it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. What a great God we have, brethren. Amen. You don't have to be pumped and primed and have a pep rally. You just get to thinking about how great God is and something to break out on your soul that there's no wet blanket can quench. Amen. Amen. It's real, brother. You get to thinking about that, I'm just sitting in my living room on the couch saying, wow, wow, what a God we have. God did that for me. He said here, he said, he took partake of the same, likewise took part of the same. Look at this next. That through death, now watch this now. That through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Amen. Amen. See, this is going to help me.
Right.
That's right. The devil's trying to hang it over my head, and he's trying to hang it over your head. Hey, you're going to die. Well, don't threaten me with death, devil. Amen. I know where I'm going. Amen. Amen. Don't you try to threaten me with death now. Amen. Amen. I've been born again. I've been washed in the blood. I have a home prepared on yonder side. Amen. I'm going to yonder shore. Amen. Amen. Don't you try to threaten me with that.
Amen.
Not going to work. Listen, he's got some artillery. Listen, he has some artillery as his resources, but that's one thing he may have. It doesn't work with this Christian. Amen. Because I know, and I believe you do too. But now I'm going to tell you what God said I did. He said, I just went ahead and I removed that from his arsenal. Amen. See, the devil, he might win a little battle here and there with me and with you, but he's not going to win the war.
Amen.
God's done stripped him of his most powerful too. Amen. Jesus did that.
Right.
That's what Paul's telling them here.
Right.
Read it. That's what he said. Listen, he said, that was his heavy artillery. He said, I took it from him.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Look at it. Let's read what he said here. He said that he might destroy him that had the power of death. How did he end up with that? Because the wages of sin is death.
Right.
See, when we sin, he can demand the penalty until we get that taken care of.
Right.
That's right. And then he said this, he said, that he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them, now watch it, who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I've met some folks like that. You know, every now and then, I find myself in this law. Just every now and then now. You've been sitting around or maybe driving down the road or laying in bed and all of a sudden feel a little tug at your left side of your chest, you know, and say, whoa, what was that? Hey, man, that'll get your attention in a hurry, especially when you eat cheeseburgers with regularity. Amen. I mean, that'll get your attention. And then, boy, the old devil, he'll start working. Now, don't look at me like you've never had a thought like that. Some of you look at me like, I don't ever think about that, preacher. Well, I hope you don't think about it much now. Don't let it dominate your thought life. But it'll come. You say, I ain't had that thought yet. Well, it'll come. You just haven't had the pain hit you right, just right yet. Amen. I like what he said here, verse 15. I've got to move on. He said in verse 15, he said, deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Brethren, you listen. The apostle said here, he said, you don't have to be subject to this bondage. Don't live in that kind of bondage. God's delivered you from that. Amen. The devil's took the big gun away. Listen, Jesus has took the big gun away from the devil. That's right.
Amen.
Now, how did he do that? What's the result of that? Let's look at a couple more scriptures. I'm going to be through. So the first thing I want you to notice now, I want you to notice this, that the devil can't threaten us with death because Jesus has a greater power than death. Now, are you listening? You say, what is that? Well, he died. All right? But he didn't stay dead.
Right.
Which means that there's a greater power than death. It's called resurrection.
Amen.
And I thank God that I'm a part of that resurrection.
Amen.
See, there's a greater power than death.
Right.
Oh, when one doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, they think, oh, death is the ultimate power. But I'm here to tell you there's a greater power than death. It's resurrection. I've got that resurrection power in my soul, brethren. I can't stay dead, amen. I can't stay dead, amen. That's right. It's real. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. Isn't that what Jesus said in John 11? It certainly is. You say, well, preacher, what's going to happen when we do die? Well, I'm glad you asked. 1 Corinthians, I'm just going to quote these to you. You turn to Luke chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. The Apostle Paul writing there, he said, I'm not going to get into all this. There's a section there I want to get to. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And he said, this corruption shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
Amen.
Listen carefully now.
Right.
Oh, death, where is thy sting? Amen. Amen. Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Say, preacher, I feel like dying. Well, not yet. It'll come soon enough. But I'm not afraid to. I just want you to know. I like what Brother Sam Allen said many years ago. He said, one day somebody's going to tell you that old Brother Sam Allen died. He said, don't you believe a word of it. Don't you believe a word of it, because it just ain't so. So that's not good grammar. Good theology, though.
Amen.
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 That's right. So these people run around, you're trying to outrun death. You can't outrun death. Say amen with me.
Amen.
So we said that the sting of death's been removed. I got to move on. Luke 16, are you there? Luke 16. The Lord willing, I want to preach a message sometime on death, the last enemy. I'm glad that God took the sting out of death.
Amen.
For you and I who were saved. Did you know that there are certain bees that can only sting one time, those honeybees? That's right. They can only sting one time. I'm glad Jesus took that sting for me.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. You know what those bees do? They only sting one time. Eventually they die. But you know what they do before they die? They'll buzz around your head. Listen, they'll scare the baloney out of you. Say, what's that? That's a southern term. They'll scare you. I mean, they'll make those bees will buzz around your head, making you think, I'm going to sting you again. You can't sting me again. Somebody's already took my sting.
Right.
Amen. That's what Paul's referring to. The sting of death has been removed. Luke 16, this may be, and this I got this one more scripture. Luke 16, this may be the best picture that we get of the afterlife. All right, now listen, I've read Revelation 21, I've read Revelation 22. I know. But here we are in the afterlife, and you say, well, now, preacher, that's a parable. I can't find anywhere in the Bible that says this is a parable. I believe it's a real story, real characters, and Luke 16, many times when you turn to Luke 16, people say, well, you know, we're going to talk about hell, and there's nothing wrong with that. Hell's real. People are going there, and it breaks my heart. It ought to break your heart. It ought to break your heart. Some of you have people in your family that are going to hell. You ought to live different now. You ought to live different. You ought to live in a way to make them want what you have if you're saved. It's important. It's important. See, in verse 22, and the Bible says, in verse number, we'll just read it all. Verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell down from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died. Now, here's what I want to hone in on. I'm not going to talk about hell. Not that I wouldn't. But I want you to see something. Say, preacher, what's going to happen when I die? Well, in case God is a respecter of persons, and the last time I checked Romans, he's not. Amen? Here's a man that died. And he didn't go to hell. There's only one other place to go. So he went to Abraham's bosom. Yeah, I know where he went. I know where those saints went when Jesus resurrected from the grave. I've read the scripture. You've read the scripture. You know where they are. Amen. So what happens when a man who believes dies? Well, according to the scripture right here, the Bible says that when this man died, in verse number 22, it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. You say, oh, preacher, death's such a lonely thing. Well, now, I don't know about that. Who told you that? The devil? As far as I can tell right here, the Bible says the angels bore him up and carried him right on into heaven. Abraham's bosom, I mean, that's paradise. Right? Is that what the Bible says, brethren? So what's going to happen when I take my last breath? What's going to happen when my spirit, James 2:26, does leave my body? Well, the Bible says it's going to leave with a little bit of a, what's the word I'm searching for? There's going to be people to escort. Thank you, brother. Amen. A little bit of an escort. You're going to have an escort according to the Word. I'm telling you what the Bible says. This is not some book. That somebody wrote on, I had a vision, I died, and I saw a bright light. No, this is what the Word of God says. Amen. Jesus himself said it. So when you draw your last breath here, you're going to get bore up, brother. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I'll feel so lonely, and I'll just be floating around in oblivion. Well, you haven't read that. Oh, no, that's not what the book says. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I didn't even tell you how you're going to get there according to this book. Amen. Well, the Bible says, listen, so you ought to write these verses down. Matthew 18:10, the Bible strongly infers that we have guardian angels. Hebrews 1:14 says that they're our ministering spirits. Amen. Angels are very much, listen, they're very much a part of our lives. We even entertain them sometimes unawares. So you say, well, I don't think I've ever seen an angel. Well, if you told me you did, I'd probably scratch my head. Because the Bible says unawares. So if you're aware of it, then it couldn't be an angel unaware. So what happened here? Well, how is this going to encourage me, preacher? Well, let me get to the close of this. Did you see what happened here? Not everyone gets this escort. Notice, if you would, what verse number 22 says. It says, the rich man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Lazarus died, the beggar, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died. He was buried. And it says, in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Now we can talk about a lonely death. For the believer now, it's not a lonely death. Oh, I know we don't want to leave our loved ones. I understand that. I understand it. I get it. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm a grandfather. I have many friends. I love my life, and I get it. But I'm not afraid to leave this world. The angels are going to bear me up one day, brethren, and take me to glory land. It's real. It's real. See, either we believe this or we don't. Either I believe all of it or none of it. The same God that saved me wrote this. This is just as inspired as John 3:16. Amen. So I'm not going to just, you know, float around. We've just watched too much Disney or something. I don't know what's going on. We think, well, you know, I'm just going to be kind of just floating around out there and try to find a cloud and kick back and wait to the rapture of the church or something. No, brethren. No. God is going to come and bear us up, and he's going to take us into his presence. The angels of God are going to take us into the presence of the Lord. I've given you scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Either it means that or it doesn't, right? Oh, I don't want to close with this. So there's much more I could say here, but my time is up, okay? This is where you're supposed to say, preach, preacher, preach! Psalm 23, say, no, preacher, I want to go home and... I'm not going to say it. Psalm 23, that's where we'll close. So let's recap, all right? Number one. The fact of death, it's real. Number two, the faces of death. There's physical, there's spiritual, and there's a second death. And then we get down to the fear of death. There's people that fear death. And there's many reasons that people fear death. And some people have placed themselves in bondage because of death. We've seen where Jesus has, listen, he has taken that artillery from the devil. The devil can't use that against you, so don't let him. Use the truth on that liar. Amen. And then let's just look at this process and the picture that God gave. Okay, when I die, my body is going to, my spirit's going to leave my body. My body's going to be lifeless there. This is just a vehicle. The angels of God are going to bear me up into the presence of God. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's no holding cell. Listen, you think God, listen, I'm being a little humorous here, but I'm kind of serious. You think God's going to leave it up to some of you to get to heaven on your own? You can't even find your way. You know, especially to me, I get lost, and you know we're not going to stop and ask for directions. Amen. So God's going to have somebody take us to heaven, so you don't have to worry about that. You say, I'm afraid I won't find heaven. Well, God, he's got somebody that's going to, he's going to show for you there. Amen. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, now you come to me and show me where this scripture doesn't say angels and what it does mean. It does mean that. And then here in Psalm 23, let's close here. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes when we think about valleys, we think it's all negative and discouraging. You know, actually, my name means valley. Dale, my mother had a premonition. You know. Here the psalmist said this. Yea, though I walk. Look at that word. Will you underline it? Through. Death is not a destination. Okay? I think sometimes people look at death like, you know, that's a death. No, it's not. It's just a journey. It's just, we're just making a transition. We're transitioning from this life to the next life. That's all death is, brethren. And people just look at it like, you know, it's so final. Death is not final. Not for the believer. Amen? You with me? I'm just trying to, I want to help you. I don't want the devil to use this against you to cause you to in all of your life be in bondage of the fear of death and just always be thinking, well, one day I've got to die and I'm going to leave here. I understand wanting to live. I get it. I want to live too. But we're going to die. When we do, we're going to be bore up by the angels and carried into the presence of God. And it's just going to be, according to the Bible now, we're going to pass through the valley. It's just a time to pass through. It's not a final destination. In a moment, we're just going to pass through and we're going to end up on the other side, just the way God said so. Think about this. Notice something that happens here. In the first three verses, you'll find he, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's talking about the shepherd. But something happens in chapter 23 and verse number 4, and it's not by coincidence. It's not a mistake. He begins to talk to the shepherd. Look, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou. He's talking to him now.
Amen.
For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Why? Because God's not going to let us pass through this time alone. He's not. God's not going to let us pass through death alone. God will be right there with you, my brother. My sister in the Lord, I want you to know something. God will be right there with you when you make the passing. So, well, I hope my family makes it, preacher. Well, I hope there's things like that would happen for us, you know, that our loved ones would be around us. But listen, if they don't make it, if it just so happens to be that they don't, I want you to know something. There will be someone there.
Amen.
To go with you through the valley. And he will see you safely to the other side. Okay? All right, let's stand to our feet. There's more, but we'll pick it up another time.